Okay, so we're beginning on page Ayin Gimel, page section Sadi Beis. That's 92. We're discussing the idea of how a person has to realize that Hashem is supervising every small thing in a person's life, and that's what a person has to get used to, that understanding. And you have to get used to that by thinking about it and by speaking it out. Continuously, we have to do those kinds of things. And slowly, slowly, a person will get used to this idea that there's only one being who really determines everything in this world except for our fear of God. That's, we have to keep thinking that way till our lives are saturated with faith, till our lives are totally tied into Hashem, and that this habit will become our true nature, and this will be acquired in our souls. You know, so therefore, you know, when you get to that point, as we ended off, you know, if Hashem is really controlling everything, you're not going to ask Him to come to places where you shouldn't be doing things you shouldn't be doing. And that's why a tzaddik always gets what he wants answered, because Hashem's always with him. That's where we ended off. Okay, tzaddik beis. Zu avodaso shalom. This is the work of a person. Lahashrish bekirbo heitev. To implant inside of himself well. Shebechol dover v'dover. In everything. Yesh rak echad shekoveh hakol. There's only one being who determines everything. Hello, Yechidah Shalom. That's the unique being of this world. Now, Nenasa Lekarves Adam Levarim. Let's try to bring this idea close to people. Shlorak Shiedes Advarim Spesichel. Not merely that you should know this in your intellect, but that person should feel it in the depths of his heart. Zuavodosu Shalom. This is the service of a person. Lavatel Esamachshava Trila. To first negate and nullify the thoughts of a person. In other words, we'll see what we mean by that. Ulaachem ikenes argosha shubalabayis boilum. And afterwards, to remove the feeling that you are the balabayis. Balabayis means the homeowner, the master. And to negate the feeling that you are the master of the world. Shekiv yachol yeshul adam shlita ala nasa boilum. As if it were that a person has control over everything that happens in the world. So what he's saying is that the first thing we have to do is to remove the wrong ideas. To remove the wrong ideas. And what do most of us think and feel? That we're in control of our destinies. That's what most people think so. And that's the first thing we've got to work on. And that's what he's telling us. Avodas ha'adam, the service of a person, begins with this concept. He la'akor harkosha zumin asher, to uproot this feeling from its roots. Ulakate sachara, and to like cut it up, to chop it up. Ulavat lakaroy, and to get rid of it. Adasher yachush b'emes, until he feels truly shem bishletos oklum, that he has no control over anything. Elozulas knias yerushimaim, except for the acquisition of fear of God. Kamamru chazal, as our rabbis tell us this. Shehi Nekudas HaBechira. This is the term that Rav Dessler coined. This is the Nekudas HaBechira. Literally, it means the point of choice. I like to call it the field of choice. But this is that area where you can make the decisions in fear of God. Vizul Asah and everything else. He's playing on a term of the Torah. Hakol Bakol Mikol Kol. That's from the benching, right? Hakol Bakol Mikol Kol. Everything, mamish, nikva ach v'rak l'idei yichid shalom, is only determined by the one God in this world. So, you know, the Baal HaTanya explains, and you could think about this during davening today, when we get to the bracha, towards the end of Shemoneh Esrei, of Modi Manachnu Loch, we bend down and say Modi Manachnu Loch. Modi Manachnu Loch simply means, we give thanks to you, we acknowledge, we thank you for all these things you've done for us. However, he explains it, the Baal HaTanya explains it, based on the terminology of the Talmud. There's a terminology of Talmud when there are, let's say, arguments between one opinion and another. So they use a term, for example, modim chachamim l'Rabbi Meir. The chachamim, the sages, modim, so the simple meaning is they admit to Rabbi Meir. But what it means really is that the rabbis, they submit to Rabbi Meir. And they resign themselves to the truth of Rabbi Meir's opinions, and they let go of their opinion. Whereas we had an argument. I feel it's this way. You feel it's that way. And says, you know, the Chum will agree to Rabbi Meir in this thing. So what are they going to say? That he's right. They're going to let go of their opinion. That's what it means in Talmudic parlance when they say modim. It's not just I give thanks, I acknowledge, but it's more. I acknowledge that what I think is not correct and what you think is correct. So too, there's an ongoing dispute between heaven and earth and how to look at life. From our perspective, this world is the main thing. So, who's paying next month's rent? My boss. Because he's the one who's deciding that I have the job. And therefore, from our perspective, your boss, you know, there's a certain fear that you have over your boss, because if you're not good to him, you won't have a job. So we make decisions in our life, you know, by things that we see and by things that we hear in this world. And that's the way we look at things, which is totally incorrect, but that's what we believe. From God's perspective, it's the opposite. From his perspective, the whole world is ayin, is nothing. And the true reality is what he says it is, and that's Torah and mitzvahs. And this is the machlokas, this is the dispute between heaven and earth. Earth thinks up over here in this world, we think that the things we see are in control. And God says, you foolish people, I'm the one running everything. Who's the one that puts ideas in your boss's mind? If not me. Right? Yes, he it appears that he's the one who's going to fire you or not. But you got to realize, you know what? He could be gone in a day. He could have a change of heart. And there's so many different things. And I'm the one that's creating this situation. I'm the one who brought you to this job. I'm creating economic crunch in this company. All these factors that are involved. I'm creating a situation where he happened to be stalled on the 401, and there's no one to help him, and an invisibly Orthodox Jew decided to help him, and now all of a sudden he's going to look at you a little bit differently. There's so many ways that God controls the situation. It's unbelievable. And for anyone to think that their boss, and therefore you have to, you know, TL the boss, and you have to do all these things to make him like you more, and do things that are beyond what is proper, it's ridiculous. That's the machloka shemayim v'aretz. So therefore, what do we say we say it every day, three times a day. We say modim anachnu lach. Not just we give thanks to you, Hashem, but we submit to God's opinion and his perspective, and that God runs the show. And then you can say everything else it says in the Shema. The mamish, every second that our lives are totally dependent on you, and all the details that the modim anachnu lach prayer says. That we recognize that every little thing. Yeah, mamish. Every little thing. Right? Sur chayenu mogen yishenu, nodalacha, al chayenu mesur midach, our lives that are given over your hands, our souls. Val nisecha, shebechol yom, all the miracles that are happening and the wondrous things that are happening every day, afternoon, morning, whatever. For everything, all of it never ends. Your kindness never ends. For all of them, you should be elevated, etc., etc. It's like every little thing, and we acknowledge that it is all yours. It's all you. So we have to submit that it's you and it's not us. And that's what that bracha of modim is all about. It's the humility. It's not me, it's you. Right, and we know mystically that the modim bracha goes is after Aaron HaKohen. It goes after Aaron HaKohen, who is the humble one. Right? And that's how you have to finish Manasseh. You finish davening for Nesrei. What do you think you've been davening for? Hashem, if it pleases you, then let my boss treat me nicer. That's what you've been saying in the bracha of Parnasa, hopefully. Saying, let my boss give me a raise. Well, that's hopefully you're going to understand it's not your boss, it's Hashem. So at least at the end, when you're finishing up, you want to make sure that the blessings come properly. You acknowledge that, you know what, it's you, Hashem, and it's not me. So when those things happen, you remember that it's Hashem and not me. That's critical. That's critical. So
and if the boss would understand that as well, then we really have something going. But if the boss is...
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the boss understands.
He's still controlled by Hashem, but he's not a Jew, let's say. The boss is not.
Doesn't matter. Hashem is controlling everything. You know, that's how you got to always realize, you know, if you want...
if he would realize that as well, then it would be a much better world for everybody, wouldn't it?
Listen, if everybody realized it, it would be a much better world, right? But if Jews realized it, that would be a good thing, right? So all these things, and everything we do, you know, that's why you only can make so much effort, and then you stop, except when it comes to Yiras Shamayim. When it comes to fear of God, those decisions are your decisions, and those ones you have to work. How much Gemara are you going to learn every day? How much Chumash you going to learn every day? That's your decision. God says, "You tell me how much you want, and I'll give you everything you want." But what about this? What about that? What about that? It's Hashem, you tell me what you want, and I'll follow your lead, and I'll do things that are different than what you're planning on. But you know, you gotta show that you want that. If you really, really want something, Hashem really, really gives it to you. But you gotta believe that. You gotta believe, you know, that your boss will give you a day off, will give you off Chol HaMoed if you really want it off. You gotta really believe that it's not the boss who's saying no, it's Hashem who's saying no.
You pray for it.
And of course, then you'll pray for it. First you have to believe it. You can't pray for what you don't. The problem is a lot of times we pray for things we really don't believe.
Hashem shouldn't say no.
We really don't believe. And if Hashem says no, then there's a reason why he's saying no. There's a reason why he's saying no. But it's not the boss. You never have fear of a boss. You know, that's mamish, avoid a zara. That fear of a boss. You don't have fear. You act respectfully. You treat him like every other human being that you treat with respect. And then you understand. So what we have to do, you know, it's hard for us to draw this idea into our heart and not be influenced by what we see all around the world. And this requires a lot of avoida to get this false information out of our hearts. So that's the problem. The first thing is, because the truth is, all of us believe it is our boss who determines our parnas and not Hashem. So the first thing you have to do is get that wrong idea out of your mind. When you get all the wrong ideas out of your mind and to stop feeling that way, then you come to the real ideas. You can't put the real ideas in till the wrong ideas are out. As long as those wrong ideas are in, so now you're going to have a partnership. And just like in idol worship, it's forbidden to have a partnership. You can't say, I believe in God and I believe in the power of my boss. That's a partnership of idolatry, which is not allowed. Can only say, I believe that Hashem is the one who's taking care of me, and I feel it, and I know it, and that's all, and nobody else. What are you going to do with all that feeling for the last 40 years that you thought was your boss? So you got to work on realizing his mom is nothing. When you get that out of your mind, then you can move on to what is the correct thing. That's what Tzadi Beis is telling us over here. Okay, Tzadi Gimel. Ksiv, he quotes the famous pasuk in the Chumash, V'yadata hayom v'ashevos el vecha. You will know it today, and you will draw it upon your heart. You'll bring it into your heart. So he's saying, "Zeh yisod v'sharish tzuris kol mahalach avoda." This is the root source of all the work and service you have to do to Hashem. That's two-step process. Tchila avodos shel adam hi. The first step of a person's service to Hashem is v'yadat hayom. We have to know it today. Shadvarim yu kvuim v'yaduim b'mochel. That the words are totally established and known in your mind, v'sichel, in your intellect. And afterwards, la'achar shenis yashvu hadvarim heitei v'sichlo, after the words are sitting very well in the person's intellect, ozai magia mahalach shel v'hashevos elavecha, then comes the process of bringing it into your heart, la'hashiv es hadvarim alalev, to return these things to the heart. Okay. So, like I said, like we've mentioned, right? You can tell a person, right? Is there a table in the room? This person looks at the table and says yes, right? Okay. If he sees it, he'll say yes. Yeah. Again, what if you ask the person, do you have a hand? All right. He doesn't have to look at the hand. He doesn't have to look at the hand. Why? What if he's in a dark room? Do you know that there's, do you know you have a hand? Do you feel it? Of course I do. Why? Because I feel I have a hand. It's part of me. Part of me. That's Vashivos al Vavecha. It's gotta be, this reality that Hashem is in control of everything is to be just as clear as you have a hand. Right? Do you have any doubts you have a hand? There's no doubt. Well, you feel you have a hand. No question about it, I have a hand. So that's mamish how you feel you have Hashem. That's the same feeling has to be. And therefore, we need to do what? Lahati mesar goshes alev lo mahalach shel machshavta. We have to coordinate the feelings of the heart to what the path of the mind is. Shirik shel levava yutamim umuchubarim laskola soul. That the feelings of the heart will correspond and be attached to one's intellect. Umekabli min vehayadata hayom lelo machson belibo. And to receive from the part of you that knows today, to receive that without any blockage of the heart. And to get that, you need what we call tahara salev, purity of heart. V'nikiono min arla salev, and to cleanse one from the covering of the heart. Shimonas mina emes lachter lalev lanigo, that prevents the truth from penetrating the heart and guiding it. So this is the path that one has to work with in any aspect that you want to acquire. Really, everything he's saying here applies to the first and second stages as well as this stage. Tchila first via data yom, you have to really know it well. That's going to be really clear up here. Really clear. And when it's after it's really clear up here, then you have the next work. Then you have to bring it into the heart. And bring into the heart, he is saying, is you have to remove that blockage that is in the heart, that's not allowing that to get in. There's something that's not allowing it to get in. So what's not allowing you to get this in? It's because you really believe that your boss is in charge of your parnasa. You feel he's in charge of your parnasa. That's a blockage. That's a blockage. That you feel you're in control of your life. That's a blockage. There's a lot of blockages that are there. And only after you get rid of those blockages, Is it able to get in? That's one of the purposes of going into Golos. Why are we going to exile? Why were we exiled? Because we had too many blockages on the heart. We believed so many wrong things. So then what happens? So then God sends you into Golos, and all those wrong things that you believed, you see how other people use it to hurt you. And now as an outsider looking in, you see they did the same stupid things you do. And not only that, but they do it through you and they hurt you through the same Weltanschauung that you had. And then you realize how stupid it is. And that takes the blockage off. And that's the whole purpose of all the goals we've been through, is to finally get the blockage off the heart and to finally get it right. But it's a challenging goal, because you can get sucked into the goals and it can get worse. But that's the real purpose. You know, Jews who believed that, you know, there was a higher culture in Germany, and that was something that one should look forward to. One should learn, you know, Brahms and all these wonderful musicians, because this is culture, and give up the Torah, because the Torah is not such a culture. So those very musicians were playing the music in Auschwitz when people were coming in to get cremated. Right? So now you see how cultured it is. And now maybe you can get rid of the blockage. Right? That's what Golos is all about. It's a challenge, because you're challenged with it. And you have to realize how false it is. You know, we live in the exile of Esav now. Esav, right? We're learning about Esav, right? Esav's the pig. Right? He's Doma Lechazer. What is Esav? Esav is a gentleman on the outside and the lowest scum on the inside. Right? And that's what Jews were. Right, so now we have to be shown such a society. Right, there's no society like North American society that's as piggish in the world. Western society, right? We have laws. We, you know, there's protocol. There's political correctness. See how honest we are, and behind closed doors, how treif you are. Right, that's how treif you are. You knife people in the back. You take over their businesses. You take over their wives, right? All these things, and it's all done, you know. But on the outside, I'm squeaky clean, squeaky clean. You can't catch anything. My accountant checked everything out. It's 100% legal, right? But where's the emes? It's not there. So we live in such a world, such beautifully things that are designed on the outside, right? Superficiality to get your face lifted and your tummy tucked and all this, and so you look momish, like you're. A 6-year-old lady looks like a 30-year-old lady. Right? But there's nothing inside. There's no token to these people. There's mamish, nothing to them. But outside they look great. That's why you can't maintain a relationship with people, because there's nothing on the inside. It's on the outside. Right? And Jews have to realize that and see how false and how crazy this world is. And to realize once and for all, this is not a lifestyle to have. So if we're smart, we see it. You see it every day. If you're not smart, what will happen is, then they'll kill you. They'll kill you with a smile on their face, legally. And you're going to learn it one way or the other. That's the whole purpose of Golos, is to learn this lesson. And when we learn it, when we get, all it takes is to get the covering off the heart, then you're ready for Mashiach. You're ready to hear the message. Once we hear the message, then everything's fine. That's all it is. Yeah.
We understand, I mean, that's what we're supposed to understand, that Hashem is in charge of everything. That's the basic thing here. Absolutely everything. So the German composer is that example. Who made him compose this music, and what are we to do with it? What is our relationship to these sort of things that do exist? Because again, Hashem...
You ignore it.
And he created the music.
I'm saying.
I'm sorry.
You ignore it. You ignore it.
You ignore it.
Resist. The purpose of Gaulus is to resist. To resist it.
Okay.
To realize it for what it is. To realize how treif it is. To resist it. Sur meira. Resist from evil. So you grow from that acknowledgement.
Resist by not.
Being involved in it. Yes.
By listening and saying, no, that's not for me.
No, by ignoring it. Once you listen, then you're getting yourself into trouble.
How are you going to ignore it when it's around you everywhere? I mean,
you shut it off. What do you mean?
Shut it off.
How can
you go in a mall or you go, don't go in a mall, I suppose. That's
well,
the idea.
You mean miss that shit.
So first of all, I've already said that if at all possible, one should not go into a mall. Well, at least a man should. So you can go. I go into Moors.
They have a sale on right now. In fact,
I don't notice it.
End of season sales.
I don't know. I don't notice it. Mamish, I don't notice it.
Christmas music everywhere.
I don't know. You know. So guess what? You know what you could learn from the teenagers? They walk all day long with an iPod in their ear.
That's not good either.
Yes, it is. You have a Torah tape in your ear. You have a Torah tape in your ear. You don't have to hear the music. You know, you should.
Spiritually, maybe good. Health-wise, it's no good to wear.
All right, say over your Mishnayos by heart, while you're going there. You say over your Mishnayos to yourself. You block it out. You can block it out. I tell Mom, should I go please? I don't hear the Christmas music. I'm not listening for it. I don't.
Then we're talking Mea Shearim here, aren't we?
You're not talking Mea Shearim. No, you're not talking Mea Shearim. First of all, let's start that our houses are free from this. Okay, and you know what? I think most houses need a lot of work.
Right.
All right? You know, notwithstanding the cable TV show last night, we still shouldn't have cable. Still shouldn't have
cable. There's not a reason to get cable for the year.
You know? No, I'm just saying, you know, certain things, we allow the tumah to come into our house.
So then we have to make
You don't need to, you need to see. The rabbi can tell you what you should stay away from. That was the whole, that's the whole challenge.
You know.
It doesn't take, you don't have to see it to know it. I know plenty of things, I don't have to see it. Whoever is starring in any movie, you don't see it. Finished. You know, whatever, you know.
The Ten Commandments?
Yeah, for sure not. It's the biggest chil Hashem ever, is the Ten Commandments. It's worse than anything else. I'm saying, you know, you have to learn to avoid things. You know, you don't watch movies. Finished. Unless it's mamish rated G and it's a documentary and it's
place on elephants.
You don't see it. You don't see it. Unless it's a struma. You know? Ushpizen. Right? What?
We have an exception.
Now you have an exception. Okay, so.
Unless it's a struma. So then there's probably more exceptions.
So the rabbi will tell you what the exceptions are.
And he'll show it in the...
So that's why the rabbi will get up and give a drush and say, this you can watch. So wait till he tells... You know, but you have to be very discerning, and you can't just be, what do you call it? It's not... You can't take samples.
And even the show last night, there were commercials, but, you know, we're going to have to take them out. All right, whatever.
Again, listen, I didn't watch the show, because I didn't need to watch the show, right? Yeah. You know, but and I would say that frum people shouldn't be watching.
What did the Rav say that we don't
already
know?
People who live down south shouldn't be. But the truth is, there was what to learn on that show, even frum people, about Shabbos and how to. understand Shabbos, right?
Sure. It was, so give us it was, a transcript. It was we some of the $5 transcript.
No, it's sorry.
You talked about the visibly from people who never experienced Shabbos.
Right.
So, okay. So I'm saying you have to learn. That's what the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says. You know, if you keep three things in mind, you'll never fall into the grips of sin. It means you're not even into hand to hand combat with the Yetzirah. You know, you have the internet. You know, it's a big problem. It's a big problem to avoid seeing things you shouldn't see. So you know, there's very few ways to deal with it. There's very few ways to deal with it. And we're not saying you shouldn't have it. If you have to have it for your business, you have to have it for your business. But you have to put on extremely strong controls. Really strong controls. And you have to be careful with your kids. There's a lot of things. It's you're running into big, big problems. And that's the goal is coming right into your house. It's mamish into your house. You can buy anything you want from us. Anything you want. You can see it. You don't have to go into the mall. You can go anywhere. It's right in your house. And most parents don't create enough safeguards for their children. They're not. And their kids are watching all kinds of things in the middle of the night, and the parents don't even know. And they naively think their kids are in bed. If you think a teenager is in bed, when you have an internet that's active and available to use, and he's in bed while you're in bed, you got something coming to you. If you think for 1 minute that that's what's going on, then you're being naive.
It's not in his own bedroom anyway.
Right? You know, so there's all kinds of controls you can have, real strong parental controls, real strong ones. And even the relatively harmless sites are not harmless. So you have to really have a lot of controls, and we don't have it. So that's what you got to learn through the exile. That's what the lesson is. You know, an example of this, Reb Tzadok HaKohen, by this, the Medrash by Matan Torah, when Hashem offered the Torah. So you know the famous Medrash. Famous Medrash said Hashem offered the Torah to every nation of the world. He offered the Torah to the nation of Esav, and they said, "So what's written in the Torah?" So he says, "You shall not kill." So, come on, what do you want? My father blessed me that by my hands I'll make a living. You know, and that's my nature to kill. I mean, I can't live without killing. I'm sorry, I can't do this. He goes to Yishmol, do you want the Torah? He says, "What does it say?" And it he says, "You know, you can't have can't steal. So can't steal." I was an Arab to make an honest living if I can't steal. You know? So I can't do that. It goes to Ammon and Moab. What does it say in the Torah? You can't be immoral. What do you mean you can't be immoral? That's where we came from, an incestuous relationship. That's our whole basis of morality. So Reb Tzadok asked a question. They all asked the question. He says, what's going on? You know, can you imagine? What if God would have given us the Torah? You know, the Jews. You don't think God could have picked something that would be hard for us to keep? You know, no. He didn't. You know. If Hashem would tell you know, you want to keep the Torah, you can't have internet. Are you crazy? How can I live without internet? Yeah. Whatever. It's like if God would say something to you that you mamish couldn't live with. So like, why does Hashem have to pick the one thing they can't live with? You know, why didn't he start with something a little more, you know, Shabbos, kosher? Yeah, they might be able to live with it. So what's your thoughts? Reb Tzadok has a fantastic shot. He says. The truth is, Hashem told them all, Kol HaTorah Kula. He told them all 613 mitzvahs. But they had very selective hearing. They only focused on the one thing that they didn't agree with. What does it say in the Torah? It says Shabbos, it says this, it says this, it says this, it says that. So instead of saying, you know, there's so much beauty to this, their ears were waiting to find a flaw. They wanted to find something that they didn't like. And they found the one they didn't agree with. That was the blockage of their heart. That was the blockage of their heart. And therefore, they couldn't accept the whole thing. Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Right? So, you know, we all have, and you don't have to go to the Medrash, you go to any secular Jew, there's a blockage of the heart. There's a blockage of the heart. You know, Judaism is so beautiful. It is such a beautiful religion. You know, but you come to something that they don't want to hear, that's the blockage of the heart. So throw out the whole thing. The whole thing gets thrown out because of the blockage of the heart. Because I have a liberal-minded attitude, and God's going to tell me what to do, and the blockage of the heart, the whole thing, throw it all out. The fact you, Mamish, have, you can have a good marriage, you can have wonderful children, you can have Yiddish and Nachas, you can see your children being Jewish. It's all, forget it. If I can't be a behemoth, then I'm not interested in it. Right? So if somebody tell me what to do, forget it. You know, I'm going to have to wear a shekel? I'm going to have to wear a shekel? Forget it. I'm going to have to give up clams? Forget it. You know, in other words, what I want, that's why it's not good.
You're talking about the Jewish people, you're right, right? They accepted the Torah, so you're telling me now that all these people...
Okay, so whether they... So it's a big problem, because over time we get influenced and we make the wrong choices. But you see, at Har Sinai, this is after Hashem saved the Jews, and he did 10... Remember, 80% of Jews didn't want to be saved either. Don't forget. There were still 80% with blocked hearts. And I'd rather be an Egyptian. Because you know what? Deep down, I like the immorality. Deep down, I like the Avodah Zarah. Deep down, that resonates within me. Right? So, but there were some Jews who said, listen, we can't deny the fact. He helped us. He saved us. He this, he that. I can't argue with the fact anymore that he is in control. So there's 1/5 who were able to understand that message. And they said, okay. And they were struggling with that themselves throughout the desert to get the blockage off the heart. But that's the problem. To translate it from V'yadata Hayom, to know today, into Vashivo Salvecha, to bring it into the heart. And the heart's gotta be, the blockage's gotta be out of there. Okay, so how are we gonna get the blockage out? That's what he's gonna talk about now. And it's the thing we've been mentioning, but he spells it out more and more and more. Sadi Dalet, 94. Tzura Samaver, Bein V'yadata Hayom, Levein Vashivo Salvecha. So what's the way of crossing the bridge? You know, making the transfer. From V'yadata Hayom to Vashivo Salvecha, Klomer, meaning to say, Ha'atakas Hayeda, transferring the knowledge, min amach, from the brain, L'chias Belev, to be enlivened within the heart, Yesh Lo Beis Afan, there's only two ways to do that. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. That's all. You can have the knowledge, all the knowledge, but it's not going to take off the covering of the heart. Aleph, number one, Ade Ribui HaChashiva V'inyin Sharetz L'Knosa. There has to be constantly thinking about that area that you want to acquire in your life. Hasmodas HaChashiva V'inyin Zezman Rav. Constantly thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking about this concept. Hein Ade Kviyas Man V'chol Yom L'Achshov V'inyin Zeh. Whether it's setting up a specific time to think about this concept, skipping the brackets, right? V'hein l'arach l'yom, or during the course of the day, l'achshav achas l'sman mu'at, to think about it once in a while, after every brief amount of time. For example, kerev shel arach, like every 15 minutes, every quarter hour. L'arach l'sman achshav akala, to arouse himself with a light thought of this. V'schi reporta, with a little remembering. L'inyin shabo amalik nos, in the area that he's working on to acquire. As then in the bracket says, except for the time of learning Torah. Now, I just did that quickly to get the whole sentence. It was a long sentence with a lot of brackets. The other bracket he brings is from the Mesillas Yesharim. He says, how much time should you set up for this? He says, you set up an hour, says Mesillas Yesharim. We're not ready for that. But Mesillas Yesharim says, an hour a day you just set aside. You're going to only think about this thing that you want to acquire. Think about it for an hour, and then think about it for the rest of the day, every 15 minutes, briefly, for a moment. Constant bombarding your mind. Give you an example of how, you know, and there are things in our lives we do think a lot about, like we've mentioned before. There are things that people, you know. But, you know, okay, so let's ask a question and be brutally honest. You don't have to answer. How many hours in our lives have we reviewed the 13 principles of Jewish belief? All right, I mean, how many, 1,000 hours? That would be very little. If you did 1,000 hours, that'd be very little. You know, if you figure the average person in this room, since they're, okay, well, let's even be fair, since you've been an adult, okay, since you've been an adult, is let's say a minimum of 20 years. So you spent 1,000 hours, that would mean 50 hours a year. That would mean 1 hour a week. That would mean 9 minutes a day. All right. Now, what is this? This isn't, you know, who is going to the Super Bowl. This is, you know, our whole lives depend on this. Right? So how many hours have we studied the 13 animamins, gone them over, reviewed them, thought about them, understood them, brought it into our hearts? How often do we do that? Right? And you know, it's so important, and we don't spend enough time on that. That's part of it. So there are things that we unfortunately spend way too much time on. Way too much time on that we value as being important. You know, in a typical secular world, right? You know, on a Sunday, you probably spend about 9 hours watching football. You know, they've designed it much more since when I was a kid. It's like mamish. It's like you can mamish. They make it a whole thing now, like from Thursday night till Monday night. It used to be Sunday afternoon, you know. But now it's like mamish. It's like they did it with everything. You know, you notice. You know, there's usually a Thursday night game somehow. And then Saturday is mamish given over to college football. And there's like a game all day long, like from 12 noon all the way till 11:30 at night. You know? And if there's anything in the middle, you can always turn a little hockey. You know, if there's an hour that you're missing. And then NFL football, it's like 1 till 7:30. Then there's an 8:30 game. You know? And it's mamish. When I was a kid, you didn't have that much. You know, it's, you know, when I go to the club, I go to the club and go to the washroom, they got advertisements. You know, the advertisement of sign up for private football games. 42 games that you can't get anywhere else. So they show you lots of tackling and this and that, right? So it's like unbelievable how you can spend a lot of time. You can imagine there are people, from people that invest hours every week on sports. Hours. And they're mamish bikim. You go to certain schools and listen to the kids talking. Overhear them. Sandin is the best one. He's much better than the Chveis, whoever. I don't even remember their names. Yeah, he's better. Did you see what he did? Oh, that was amazing. And to go over the chazer over now. I got to chazer over the game. You watched it Saturday night. Now we're going to chazer it over. I spent hours chazering it over. Mamash, we're buckies in sports. It's like unbelievable.
What you were saying, Rabbi, about intrusiveness, about all these things around us.
So if you don't have a TV, you don't have to worry about it. You know, all these arguments that there's good things in TV, you know, 99.9% of homes, they're watching more bad things than good things. The Yetzer Hara always has to have a kernel of truth to get you to sin. So there is an occasional good show. So for the occasional good show, we'll watch lots of bad shows. Right? Believe me, if you didn't have a TV, your life would not be any worse. You wouldn't be any less better off. You know, and you're only losing from it. Right? And if you didn't have business, you'd be better off without internet. You'd be better off with it. You'd be better off without it. You wouldn't be behind. I'm not saying if you have a business and now you can't compete unless you have the internet. Okay, so you have to have it. And even that, there's mamash needs Hashem's help. It's mamash needs his help. But you can, I don't know, can you have just with email and no internet?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Just to get email, not internet. Yeah. That's what you have to get.
Spam.
Okay, and then there's spam and all those other things. But it's a big problem. I'm not minimizing the tests we have now are unbelievable tests. But the point is, you got to think about this thing constantly. Constantly thinking about it. A, and B, Beis, right at the end of Tzadi Dalet. Al yidei dibur hadvarim bepiv pamim rabas mod. By verbalizing this many, many times. Saying over what you know. Ki koach ha-peh le'or alev. There's a power of the mouth to arouse the heart. As we'll explain later on. So these two steps of removing the covering of the heart is constantly thinking about it and then constantly talking about it. That's why people are, you notice, that's why the kids who are into the sports, it's not just enough that they watch it. They talk about it. And the more they talk about it, the more it becomes ingrained in their lives. You know, and that's why, it's, there's nothing wrong. Again, I have nothing against kids playing hockey. Mamish, I think it's a great thing. Kids should play hockey, but you don't have to be in a select league. You know where there's a select league and there's championships and there's this and that. Because you know what? That's really what they're living for. They're not living for Torah and Hashem. They're not excited about it. They're excited about the championship. You know, and from age 7 or 8, there's championships and we're working on and practicing and this and that. We'd practice our Yiddishkeit as much as sporting events, we'd be a lot better off. And if you talk about it, you can have a weekend on it. The kids get so excited about it. And it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing because they're getting excited about the wrong things. Again, you want to have a, a choose-up game of hockey. You know, okay, you want to have a choose-up game. You choose up, you play for an hour and a half. And if you get the goal, you don't get the goal. It's not, you know, don't take it too seriously. That's fine. You know, maybe yeshiva. You played Friday afternoon. You know, okay, you know, you played for an hour and a half. And you really cared who won the game. But the kids, you have kids and mamas, they're screaming and yelling, and he was safe, he was out, you cheater, this, that. Like, mamas, you gotta win. If I don't win, it's the end of the world. It's like, you're expending your emotions on something that's not worthy of that emotion and feeling. And the more you talk about it, the more you get excited about it, the more it's important. And then you have grown-up adults who can't get out of it. And then all of a sudden there's no time to learn. To go to learn for an hour, mamas, I can't go out. But to drive downtown and to sit at a hockey game and to sit on a cold bench and to watch something for far as you get excited and you're thrilled and it's everything in the world. You know, then you're going to tell Hashem, I didn't have any time to learn Torah. It's, you know, Hashem should help us. Hashem should help us that we understand what we need to do. Okay, Mirtz Hashem will continue Tzadi Hei and some real examples, Tzadi Hei, Tzadi Vav, of exactly how to go through this process and what to say.